Been thinking some about the words the good way. I was always interested as a child, still find it a very interesting piece of our history. Been reading a little more about it recently. In the mid-19th century, the United States was really early in its course as a nation, and the boundaries of our country were being expanded further and further west. Civilization as we knew it at the time, that was largely limited to the East Coast, the colonies on eastern part of the United States. But there's something within man that I think really is God-given that has a desire to explore. Thank you. Desire to explore and to see more. And I want to see what's on the other side of that mountain range. I want to know what it's like. I want to know what else there is. And so man started to different ones of our nation, not to go through the whole history of it, began to press westward and began to explore and try to find a route all the way through. And finally, some made it all the way to the Pacific and started charting or mapping out some of the country that lay in between. And there was something almost of a fever, it seems, that hit our nation, different ones that started hearing about a land that was out west that was, as it was often reported, it was like a promised land. That land was free or very cheap, that the soil was very fertile and rich, and it's not crowded like it is out here in the east. And started hearing of all this promise of something that was wonderful, that was something that just about any family would dream of and think of and want to be able to possess. But the problem was there were some 2,000 plus miles that lay between many people and that so-called promised land. And there was a journey that they had to take to get there. A journey that took a course of a number of months. It was a very difficult, arduous journey called the Oregon Trail. And many, many people, parties that started out across that trail, it took, what was it, 4, 5, 6 months to go that distance, and they encountered troubles along the way, many of them dangers by whether it was natives or drought or famine or whatever it was, disease and cholera and those things that hit. But there was something within so many of them that had a desire that I want to press on. I want to see what's on the other side. There's something that I've got my eyes and my vision set for, and I want to find a way through. Do we have a promised land that we're looking for today? You know, there's going to be many long miles, so to speak, for us to journey to get there. There's going to be some difficulty. There's going to be an arduous journey for us to go through to be able to make it, to be able to get to the other side. And many times those that started out on that trail, they'd find places where there's a wagon abandoned by the way. They'd find crosses marking the graves of those that didn't make it, the bones of oxen and other animals that weren't able to press through the hardship, that were markers along the way that this is a serious thing. Not everybody makes it through. Folks, many people have started out on this journey with the Lord and haven't made it. The song says, though, I'm going through. And I trust this afternoon that's our desire, that I mean to go through, I mean to press through, because there is a land. There's a land waiting for us. There's a land that's worth every mile of the journey, whatever sacrifice we might have to make. There were times as you can imagine, families that are packing up and leaving the things that they knew that were familiar. They want to take along the things that mean so much to them. They want to carry with them things that bear memories of the past. If it's China or an old grandfather clock or something that was meaningful, I want to take that along with us. But the problem was they'd get to a point in the trail where the going was rough, where they had to do some climbing and the oxen just couldn't bear the weight of that. And they had to make some decisions. They had to make some sacrifices. Come to places where they had to decide, which do I want more? Do I want to sit here with my grandfather clock and perish in the wilderness? Or am I going to be willing to give up something so that I can make it through? And you know, I believe that we're going to have to come to places like that ourselves. That I have to make some decisions. If there's something that's holding me back. There's something, it means something to me. There's something that's pulling me back, that's weighing me down. The scripture says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience this race. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's keep our eyes on the prize and on whatever it's going to take, that I be determined, whatever I have to give up, whatever self-denial that I have to go through, I want to pay the price. I want to go all the way through. I'd like to look at John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You know, the fever is a cholera that seemed to have swept so many people. The Oregon fever, later the California Gold Rush fever. It seems to have been fueled by reports of people that made its way back. Newspaper as slow as it traveled, or by letter, by word that traveled along the trail of people that have been there. People that have made it, that have been there, and they've written back, or they've sent word of, it's everything that we heard it was. It's beautiful. You've got to, and trying to portray in words of what they found. You know, Jesus, he came from the glory and splendor of heaven. And he said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Let me tell you a little bit about it. And I go to prepare a place for you. There's a place that has your name, so to speak. There's a place that I'm going to prepare for you. So let not your heart be troubled. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? You know, I think it's still a fitting question today. Lord, how can we know the way? And so many people are saying, what is truth? What is the right way? There's many ways. There are many paths. It's, you start out and you mean to get there, and you try to do right, and you try to be a good person, and all of the reasoning and the thinking that we hear in the world, and that's good enough. God will understand. There are many ways. But he said here, Lord, how can we know the way? Jesus had told him that, you know the way that I go. I've lived it before you. Perhaps you've heard the story. I remember it from Paul Harvey. Told the story of a man that was in a snowstorm at his house. He heard a racket, a noise at the door, and he went and opened the door, and he saw some birds that had been caught in the snowstorm. They had had to land there in his yard, and it looked like they were just going to freeze for sure there in the snowstorm. And so he had compassion on him. He wanted to do something to help him. So he went out, and he had a nice warm barn for the animals. And he went out and he opened the barn door. And he thought, surely the birds will see that. They'll see the open door, and they'll realize it's safety and it's warmth, and they'll go into the barn. But he went back in the house and watched, and they just continued fluttering around in the snow and didn't know what to do. So he went and he tried to kind of shoo them into the barn, and they just scattered every which way and wouldn't go into the barn. And he got to thinking, you know, if only they're scared of me. They don't know that I have their best interest at heart. They don't know that I'm trying to help them. I go out and they're afraid of me, and they won't. If only I could go and just be one of them and show them the way. And I could be one of them and be among them, and I could go right and lead them along the way. You know, it's what Jesus came to do. He came from the Father and said, I go to prepare a place. You've seen my life and you've heard my teachings, and so you know the way because I've shown you the way. I've come as one of you to teach you and to show you the way to the Father. The way to be able to make it to this place that I've prepared for you. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the truth of those words hasn't been lost a bit through the years. He's still the way. the simplicity of the gospel. He is the door. He is the only name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Jesus talked about those that would come along, that would try to find some other way. You know, there's something about man, it seems like, even if there were 1,000 ways, I want to find the 1,001st way. It's not enough. I want to have my brand. I want to have, you go to a car dealership today, and how many options do you have to pick through? Catalog of options, I can pick this and this, because I want it to be customized exactly to the way that I want it. I want this to be my car. I don't want just a package deal. Folks, salvation, the Lord is the one that does the tailoring to us. I can't go and try to say, I don't quite want to live it that way. I don't quite see it that way. I have another way that I think I can get there. I'm doing the same thing. I love the same Lord. I love Jesus as well. But I want to go my brand. I want my options here that I can pick. Jesus said that there would be those that try to come in by another way. But do you remember what he said of them? They are thieves and robbers. If they come in by any other way than by the door, they are thieves and robbers. Remember the story of Pilgrim's Progress of the man, I don't remember his name right now. He came in and was walking in the way, and Christian, I believe, asked him, well, do you have your parchment? Do you have your scroll? No, I don't need that. Well, yeah, you do. The Lord of the way says that you have to, your name has to be written. You have to come bearing the papers, or however he said it. Oh, no, I climbed over the wall and I found another way in, and I'm headed the same direction as you, and I'll make it just fine. But you know, we don't have the luxury, I guess we can say luxury in our lives, of being able to see up front what Christian saw at the end whenever he came to the river. Whenever he had seen at the start of that man's way, whenever he was trying to find another way, another path that he had reasoned in his mind, this is good enough. I'm walking the same way as you, but yet it's not good enough if we get to the end and hear him say, depart from me. Because if you come in by any other way, Jesus said, you're thieves and robbers. There is still today, in a pluralistic society, in a time that tries to say there everything's ambiguous and open and it's all gray, it's all whatever you think and however you feel. What does the scripture say about how we feel? Well, it doesn't say it in those words. But it says we walk by faith and not by sight. May I add obedience? By faith, by obedience, not by how I feel. Not by what I reason in my mind is acceptable or is the way. Perhaps you've heard the story of the Donner Party. They were a family, a group of people that started out with the same ambitions as everyone else on the Oregon Trail. They joined up with the Reed family. There were other families that were traveling with them. They started out and they had, as history bears record, a number of what it called misfortunes, partly bad decisions on their part. That caused them delay after delay. They were inexperienced, as many people were. But as they were starting out in the trail, there was a man that had gone before in recent years. And he had tried to explore, named Lansford Hastings. He had tried to find another route. This was to California. He had tried to find another route that was a shortcut. And he had written a book, a guidebook for how to find the way, and he had sent word down the trail and he had advertised at the different outposts and forts that there's a new way that's been explored. I found it and I've explored the way and it'll save hundreds of miles if you take this way. And the Donner Party, the Donners and Reeds, as they were traveling, they got word of that. Well, of course that sounds attractive. You're going to save me maybe a couple weeks, a couple hundred miles here. A new way, we'll be one of the first. It'll find and explore and take this new way that's smarter than the ones that have gone before. It's a better way. Well, they met another one of their friends by the name of James Clyman. at Fort Laramie, Wyoming, and he was familiar with that new way. He had traveled that way, I believe it was by horseback, and he said, let me warn you, don't go that way. It's not suitable. He said, stick with the old way. Stick with the old path and the old trail and you'll make it, but if you go the new way, you're going to perish. I'd like to read Jeremiah, familiar scripture in the 5th chapter of Jeremiah, or 6th, I'm sorry. Jeremiah chapter 6. The 16th verse says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. There's a new way. There's a new path. I met someone else who spoke a couple weeks ago about the influence of others. I met someone else that said there's another way. I met someone else that told me you don't have to go through all of that. You don't have to go through that difficult path. There's an easier way. There's a shortcut here that you can take. I want to warn us, be careful of shortcuts. Be careful of shortcuts when it comes to living for the Lord. When it comes to walking with the Lord. You know that the flesh will always try to find an easier way. The flesh, if left to chart its own course, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I can't rely upon my own flesh and my own thinking or what feels good to me, what feels right to me. I can't rely upon that. And I need to be careful the source that I look to. This man, as he had sent the advertisements, come on and find a shorter way. The scripture here says, stand ye in the ways, plural. Folks, there are many ways. There are many opinions. There are many thoughts. There are many beliefs and doctrines and denominations and churches today. So that I could get confused if I don't stand in the ways and say, Lord, help my soul. Lord, I want to make it. I don't want to follow somebody off a cliff. I don't want to follow someone down the wrong path. I don't want to go down a way that, and Jesus talked about it as being a broad way. There is a broad way, and many there be that go in thereat. And yet there's a straight and a narrow way. It's difficult. It's strenuous. It's going to require leaving some belongings along the side of the trail from time to time when the Lord says, take up your cross. There's another way that's broad and it's easy and it holds promise of an easier life and of more enjoyment and more pleasure and more satisfaction. But beware. Stand in the ways and ask, where is the good way? Where is the old paths? That's what I want. Folks, I'm not an explorer when it comes to the things of the Lord. I'm going to go try to pioneer my own way here. The Lord has already shown us the way. And it's good enough for me. What does the song say? Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. I don't need to go try to find another way. I don't need to go try to find a shortcut. Folks, all I care about is being able to hear the Lord say, you made it. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Whatever it takes. And I want the Lord to hear the Lord say that for myself. And I want to be able to guide and shepherd my family along that way. And I want to be able to be a help to other souls along the way. To be able to make it to a promised land. Through all the trials and the hardships that have caused so many people to lose their way. To fall by the wayside. Folks, it doesn't have to be so. Think about that cloud of witnesses. Yeah, some were sawn asunder. Some faced some pretty brutal end. But it wasn't the end. It was just the beginning. There are a cloud of witnesses that went before us that showed us by the grace of God, this works. By the grace of God, if you follow this way, you'll make it into the end. with peace and joy in your souls. I'm thankful that there are examples of that. I'm thankful for the Word, and I'm thankful to have known people that I've seen live it before me. The Scripture says, mark the perfect man. Behold the upright. Folks, we don't follow man for the sake of following man. But as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And he also told them, mark them that are among you, such as you have us for an example. Take note of those who would try to take you down a different path. Take note of those who would try to accommodate the flesh. Take note of those who start going down a path of doctrine that's a little bit deviant from the Word of God. Take note of that. And also take note of the man. In other words, watch their lives. Watch what's produced from their life. Watch the course that they take. Watch where it takes them in their lives. Does it bring them to an end that's a solid footing with the Lord? Or does it bring them to an end where there's confusion and cloudiness of mind and I don't know what I believe anymore and I don't know what's right and I don't know what's wrong? Mark them. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright. Because if I see somebody else that's on this same road, Lord, I want to go with them. I want to go in that same path. Not because I'm following somebody, but they've got something. And I see that they have something and they found that old way. Wherein the Scripture says is the good way. What a fitting name for it. The good way. Wherein you shall find rest for your souls. So let's take courage of those that have gone before us. Let's take courage by the fact that I'm not alone. I'm not walking this way alone. Think of the song Higher Ground that says, faith, my faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. There's something about it that calls, that beckons, that says, we made it. It's worth the effort. It's worth the trouble. Stick with it. Endure a little while longer. Don't take a shortcut. Don't accept anything less than the whole truth of the Word of God. So, this man, Lanford Hastings, that was advertising this shortcut, it sounded so plausible. It sounded so attractive to take this shortcut. He left notes and left word, meet me at Fort Bridger, and I'll guide the way. So this family, the Donner family, got to Fort Bridger and said, we want to go that way. We'll take you up on it. Well, they had missed the man by a week. They decided to go ahead and follow after as he had left word. If I'm already gone, you follow behind me and you'll soon catch up. Disregarding the word of the man that had already come along and said, don't try it. Don't go that way. You're not going to make it. They soon found within a day or two as their wagon wheels sank to the axle and the salty, almost marshes of the desert, the salt flats, hard going. They were 6 days or so without water for the animals. The animals started to die and sickness started to set in. And it was from that point, it was one thing after another, after another, after another that just seemed to go wrong. And it cost them, they did finally make it back to the original trail, but it cost them so long that by the time they got to the western mountain range and started to ascend that, it was already late October, early November. And they were caught in a snowstorm. Too late. They should have known, and those that had been the way before that had guided said, you've got to make it by a certain date. You've got to press through because you can't get caught in the snows. We know a little bit of what's ahead. Well, I don't know what's ahead, but by the word of the Lord that gives warning, that tries to prepare us for what's ahead of us by the words of those that have been before. But the warnings aside, they had taken the shortcut that ended up costing them so dearly. And they got caught in a blizzard there in what's now known as Donner Pass. And it trapped them for an entire winter. They were by no means prepared to spend an entire winter. Their food, their rations, whenever you read the history of some of what happened in that winter, eating all of their animals, including the skins, and boiling it to try to eat the ox hide and those kind of things, and boots or whatever else they could find to eat. And then it got so bad that, as most historical accounts portray, as their comrades began to die off, they began to resort to cannibalism, eating the bodies of the party that was with them. Things that they thought they'd never resort to because of a shortcut. Because I thought I could take a shorter way. And you know it, I don't want to take the analogy too far, but it makes me think of a scripture that says of those that take their own way that they shall snatch and every man shall eat the flesh of his own arm. You know, it's what sin does. It's what the shortcuts that the enemy offers. It leads to a life that just, it takes away the things that are most valuable. It costs most dearly to the ones that are most dear to me. It costs the most of my family, my children, the ones that are coming behind me because of the decisions that I've made. May the Lord help us to make straight paths for our feet, that I not deviate off to the left or to the right by the attraction of so many people or ways or thoughts that would say, try this way, try that way, here's a new, this looks, but that I would look straight ahead and make straight paths for my feet. I don't want to get into a place like that. I don't want to override the voice of wisdom. You know, there is still a voice that said you'd hear behind you whenever you walk in the way that says, when you turn to the right or to the left, this is the way. Walk ye in it. How important it is for us today to be able to be sensitive to the Spirit's voice, to be able to hear, not to be blinded by the sound of the flesh, not to be blinded by the desires of carnal pleasures and things like that, that drown out the Spirit's voice, that would tell me, be careful there. Don't bring that into your life. Be careful going down that path. Be careful what you allow yourself to be influenced by. I'm so thankful for that voice. Folks, where would we be without it? Because there is a way that seems right to a man, that looks right. If I'm just left, at a song says, had I the choosing of my pathway in blindness, I would go astray. I wouldn't reach that land of home, or however it says it there. I wouldn't reach that land of eternal day. I'd never make it if I was on my own, but for the Lord and for His mercy to follow the path that He's given me. There's a song, Obedience, we sing. It says, each commandment thou hast given is a way mark on the road leading up from earth to heaven to the blessed throne of God. You know, the Lord has given us way marks. That's what those that would take out on the Oregon Trail, they were told, whenever you get so many days journey and you've crossed this river and you look up and Chimney Rock or some other landscape or monument or something, that'll indicate to you, yep, you're on the right track. I'm going down the right way. The Lord has given us way marks to indicate to us whether I'm on the right way or whether I'm not. And it says, each commandment thou hast given. The Lord has given us the way. He's shown us the way. He's given us His word as our guidebook, as our map to show us the way to heaven, if I'll be willing to follow it. I'm thankful that the Lord has made a way. I'd like to look at Isaiah chapter 62. There's so much in Isaiah about the way of the Lord. Maybe we won't read it all. But I'd like to look here at 62 and 10. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. We'll read about it also. I believe it's the 35th chapter. It talks in a way shall be there, and a highway of holiness. That the Lord would prepare a highway is something that, it's not what the Donner Party found there in their shortcut. It's not, It was a way that was impassable is what they found. But the Lord said, I'll make a way for you. There'll be a way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you follow that way, he said, I'll make the crooked places in your life, I'll make them straight for you. And the valleys, he said, shall be exalted, and the mountains shall be brought low. Well, what is the Lord telling us then? Have you found your life to just be a cakewalk, that it's easy? I don't have any mountains to climb, and I don't have any valleys that I go down into? Well, what is it really talking about? It says here in 62 and 10, gather up the stones and cast them out. You know, I am convinced that there's nothing, as we read in Romans chapter 8, what shall separate us? Shall persecution or tribulation or all these things, are those stones that can stop us? He said, nay, and all these things were more than conquerors. I don't believe the Lord is saying, I'm just going to make your path a plain one. But you know where the stones are? Those stones are not external situations, but they're stones of the heart. Break up the fallow ground, he said in Hosea 10. Break up the fallow ground. Prepare your heart. He said that he would take that old heart of stone and he'd make it flesh. He'd make it soft again. Gather out the old stones. Gather out those stony places of your heart. The scripture says of Jesus that he would be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Well, where was that stone? Jesus himself was not something that was a cause or a necessity of offense, but it was because of the unbelief of their heart. It was because the stones had not been pulled out of their own hearts that they were caused to stumble over Jesus and to stumble over his way. His way is still the same today. People are still stumbling over it. People are still hearing the words of Jesus and saying it's a hard saying still today. I can't go that way, and I'm stumbling and I'm tripping and I can't do that. But the Lord would make a way for us by his Spirit and through his grace. He'll take those stones out of my heart. Those things that are low. Do you know the Lord knows how to raise those places up? Where the enemy, have you ever found the enemy either try to stomp you down into the mud or he'll try to lift you up somewhere? And the Lord knows how, as Paul said, I know both how to be to abound and how to be abased. In other words, the Lord has made an even footing for me through it all. The Lord has made a way. He's made a highway that I can navigate through these places of life that would otherwise destroy me, that would otherwise cast me down. I don't have to be cast down. I don't have to be destroyed. Folks, no matter what place that you come to in life and that I come to, there is a way. There is a good way. There's a highway. There's a place through it. Even in the midst of temptation, what did he say about that? There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation also make a way. Folks, the way runs right through it. The Lord has a way for us. He has a highway of holiness. He has a path for us. If I'll stop and ask, Lord, where is the good way in this place, in this situation? Lord, show me the right way. Show me the right path here. There is a way of escape. There is a way up over the mountain range. There is a way to be able to go through whatever the Lord allows in our life, whatever the enemy tries to bring up in my path. There's a highway to be able to get above it. You ever drive down in Louisiana and some of those places, and you'll sure be thankful for a highway. When you look over the side and you see the swamp and the marsh below you for miles and miles and miles, thankful for a highway that gets me up out of that, that I can travel above that. Again, it's not saying that I'm going to make your path an easy one, a path where you can sit back and relax and take an easy ride. But I'm going to make a way for you. I'm going to make it possible for you to make heaven. That no matter who you are, no matter what your weaknesses, no matter what your tendencies are, no matter what your situation in life, no matter what, as the world would say, what hand you've been dealt, thank the Lord, there is a way. There is a path and a way that is lifted up that I can stop and inquire and find of the Lord. Jesus today is still that way. And he's still leading through his Spirit everyone that's faithful, everyone that's willing. He'll lead us. You know those stones that the Lord wants to pluck out of our lives? You know he wants to do something with those stones. He wants to cast them up and build it as a testimony. Whenever he told the children of Israel they were going through the river into the Canaan land, he said, take you up every one of you stones and make a pillar. And so whenever your children come along and whenever other people come along and they inquire, you can tell them, here's what the stones mean. Here's what the Lord did for us. Here's what the Lord brought us through. Do you have some stones in your life? You know, the Lord wants to take some stony places out of our hearts. And there's something that comes along with salvation. There are some way marks that are indicators to me. Whenever I'm looking at my own life, there are indicators. Jesus said, by your fruit you shall know them. There are things that accompany salvation. There are way marks. There are stones that the Lord will take out of our hearts. Of those stones of corruption and stones of bitterness and stones of unforgiveness and all of those things that I can pile up and say, look what the Lord did for me. Look what the Lord has taken out of my life. Folks, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we shall overcome what the enemy tries to bring in our lives. So may the Lord help us as we're going through the way. One, that we never give up, that I never turn back, that I never sit down and say I can't make it, it's too much, because there is a way. There is a way that everyone that's been true and faithful to the Lord, that has stuck it out and endured to the end, has found peace and rest to their souls, and it'll be the same today because God is still the same today. Let us not be discouraged, grow weary or faint by the way, but let's continue pressing on. Oh, be careful of the shortcuts. Be careful of those alternative paths. Be careful of those ways of thinking that would tend to try to steer us away from the old good paths that the Lord has laid down in His Word, that people have lived and died by and found peace and rest to their soul. Folks, I'm careful about criticizing people of the past. I'm careful about, oh, they were just old fogey folks from the past with some strange ways, and I don't know if it's really necessary for them to abstain from this and that and the way that they lived. I want to look at the end of a man's life. I want to see what it was that they had on hand. I want to see somebody that had contact with the Lord, somebody that had faith in God, that was like a rock in the billows whenever the tests and the troubles came. Because that took something. It's like a monument of stones that I say, I know that's not you. The Lord did that for you, and I want to be able to follow in the same paths. I want to be able to see those same places in my life. Oh, there are going to be times that maybe I come to a place and I say, what is this that I'm going through? Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Oh, I'm in a fiery trial. Well, Scripture said it was coming. I must be on the right path. Scripture said it would come. And whenever people speak evil of you, for my name's sake, I must be on the path. Because it's what Jesus experienced. Because it's what He went through. And He is our captain. He is our way. Let us look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. What else did it say? Neither faint ye. It said, you haven't resisted yet unto blood, as our Lord and Savior did. Let's look unto Him. Be encouraged to continue pressing on. Folks, there's something waiting for us. A promised land that'll be worth whatever it takes. And I'm thankful today. I have truly found this is a good way. I haven't been to the end of it yet. I've seen glimpses through the Spirit that's just enough to say I want it. I don't want to turn back. But I can tell you what I found of this way so far. It is the best way. There's no other way that I'd rather take than the way of the Lord. As the song says, and surely is true, God's way is best. Pray for me. Amen.